So what we've got going on here is the peaceful transition of power. As Joe the Catholic Biden goes out with a bang, do you still stand with Ukraine? Or is it time to change out that avatar? Plus, back in 1973, this Japanese Catholic mystic predicted that fire would fall from the heavens if men continued to offend God. Well, is this what she saw? Or is this just a distraction from the Christian Zionist plan to start World War III in Israel? Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Matt. This is The Remnant Underground. So this is what the peaceful transfer of power looks like in post-Christian America.
American-made missiles fired into Russia on Tuesday with Joe Biden's backing.
Not to worry, friends. This is all part of the Biden administration's effort to help the Ukrainians prepare.
Ukraine has withstood countless attacks from Russia. We have seen that repeatedly over the past more than 2 years now. We briefed Ukraine and our close allies, partners in recent days to help them prepare.
Prepare for what? World War III, I guess, huh? I don't know. And what was the evil one, the most evilest guy in the history of the human race? What was Vladimir Putin's response to Biden's obvious act of war?
As dawn broke in Dnipro, Russia unleashed an assault unlike anything Ukraine's seen in this war. A grainy black and white video, a clear picture of Putin's fury.
God help us. Walter, tell me, what are we looking at here? Man, I'll tell you what it looks like to me. It looks like the fire from heaven that was described way back on October 13th, 1973 by Sister Agnes Sasagawa of Akita fame, just a few weeks after Roe v. Wade inaugurated the bloodiest culture of death in the history of the world. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about prophecy tonight. I'm not telling you how you need to interpret it. I'm not telling you you need to take my interpretation as gospel. But this is getting really eerie. But before we get to that, friends, just a quick word from our sponsor tonight. Hey everybody, Michael Matt at the Remnant Shop now. Christmas being just around the corner, I'd like to invite you to maybe stop by the shop, which is shop.remnantnewspaper.com, and pick up a lot of our stuff. One of the things I always try to push is this Sacred Heart lapel pin. I wear it every single day, all the time, in honor of the Vandeans. We also have the book by Michael Davies, which tells the story of the Vendée for Altar and Throne. That's available in the shop right now. We also have the flag that we fly behind my desk at the set of Remnant Newspaper for the Remnant Underground. We have t-shirts. I'm wearing one right now, the I Don't Care line, which I love because it tells the world what we don't care about, like climate change and a woman's right to choose and all of that sort of thing. I dare you to wear one of these to the mall. Hashtag Resist Francis t-shirt. Always a crowd pleaser. Has the Unite the Clans. See, get one of those. Really proud of the fifth printing now of my great-grandfather's book, Letters to a Protestant Friend. Very charitable, wonderful collection of letters from a convert, my great-grandfather, convert from Lutheranism to Catholicism, writing back to his old friend group about why he converted to the Catholic faith. Very useful book. And as always, please consider a newspaper subscription. Now remember, The Remnant is a physical print edition as well. We come out every 2 weeks. We're one of the few traditional Catholic newspapers that actually survived the big purge. We're still going to keep this thing going no matter what. Comes out every 2 weeks. Got great articles, great columnists, literally from all over the world now. There's also an e-edition. For that, just go to remnantnewspaper.com. For everything else, all the other merchandise, and I've just touched on a few of the highlights today, that's at shop.remnantnewspaper.com for everything else. God bless you all. Happy Thanksgiving, happy Advent, and we'll see you around. Now, something that was lost in this crazy, insane run-up to the recent election, the election from hell, where the most dangerous human being in the history of politicians was ready to eat our children, and she just disappeared like that, by the way, which is kind of interesting, considering how terrifying she was. But anyway, what was lost in the run-up to that election was the fact that the seer of Akita, the 93-year-old Catholic sister, the Catholic nun, Sister Agnes Sasagawa, died just in August, it was in August of 2024, just a few months ago. but what happened in Akita has been, I don't think it's going to change because it's been being covered up for decades.
But even if you think it's real, you'd be so perplexed. What's it about? Why did the statue weep? What did she say? They don't use the word apparition. There's no indication that Mary actually appeared to Sister Agnes, which she did several times. Her guardian angel appeared to her several times. I'm totally annoyed right now. Like, how do they get away with this stuff?
Now, again, I know it's not fashionable to talk about Catholic prophecies, especially not in the sophisticated world of statecraft and geopolitics in the modern world where everything is just so, so sophisticated and cerebral, sort of. It's not popular. We put a lot of stock in those who accurately predict things on the political side of the fence, you know, or the economic side of the fence. They predict market crashes and they become very famous and rich for having accurately predicted rises and flows, ebbs and flows and so forth. Elections, victories at elections, parties that are win, parties that are going to lose. But when it comes to those, well, inexplicable Catholic mystics, those sisters, the little shepherd children over the past couple hundred years or more, when it comes to them, those who predicted the apocalyptic nightmare through which all of us are living today, when nobody really wants to talk about that. And I wonder why. Because at the moment, if you turn on your TV, what do you see? Well, you see nations being annihilated, right? Exactly as Our Lady predicted 100 years ago in Fatima. You see fire from heaven, right? Exactly as Our Lady predicted from 1973, much more recent apparition. And you see Rome losing the faith and becoming the seat of the Antichrist, which explains this divine chastisement that we see happening, right? Rome losing the faith and becoming the seat of the Antichrist. And the big microphone guys are going to freak out over that. What? That's absurd, man. How could you say something so terrible? In other news, the Pope's new preacher of the papal household, Father Pasolini, said that Scripture contains no unequivocal condemnation of homosexual relationships this past week, and that Jesus and Lazarus could have been in a homosexual relationship. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds like something the Antichrist might say, isn't it? Yeah, that just happened. That's in the news this week. That scandalized the world. Well, most people. Most faithful Catholics were scandalous. Everybody else just went. By the way, this idea of Rome losing the faith, this was prophesied at La Salette in 1848, up in the French Alps. And that apparition was fully approved by the church. Pope Leo XIII commissioned this basilica, the one you see up on your screen right now, high up in the French Alps, top of the world, above the clouds, where Our Lady of La Salette appeared to two shepherd children. Now, I personally I don't have a gigantic microphone, so I probably shouldn't talk about this, but I actually have gone to La Salette many times. I've gone and read the original manuscripts. I've talked to priests, right, about this, people at the shrine. I've led multiple pilgrimages up there, most recently in 2023, in fact. So, yeah, something powerful went on up there. I'm not telling you have to believe private revelation, because you don't. But something earth-shattering, earth-shaking went on up there, causing even the Pope in Rome to put a basilica up there. So La Salette, yes, was approved by the popes. Fatima was approved. I think just about every single pope, every pope since 1917 has made a pilgrimage to Fatima, the place where Our Lady said that nations will be annihilated if men don't turn back to God. Sort of like nations are being annihilated right now, right? In the Middle East, Eastern Europe. Just stupid coincidence, all right? Akita was approved. In fact, in June of 1988, Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, prefect for the CDF and the future Pope Benedict XVI, not exactly a rube, a church lady type, right? An academic, a brilliant mind, a theologian, right? Pope Benedict XVI, he definitively ruled as head of the CDF that the events and messages of Akita were trustworthy and worthy of faith, and that Akita is a continuation of the messages, again, of Our Lady of Fatima. Remember, at Akita, Our Lady talked about cardinal against cardinal, bishop against bishop, the devil being unleashed inside the church, the sanctuary, the altars being desecrated. Well, at Fatima, which Benedict is pointing back to, by way of Akita, he's pointing back to Fatima, saying it's a lot like Fatima. This is where Our Lady in 1917, again, prophesied the annihilation of nations, if man, again, refused to turn back to God.
The strongest judgment would seem to fall on the church.
悪魔は教会の中まで入り込み、 カルジナルはカルジナルに、 司教は司教に対立するでしょう。 祭壇や教会は荒らされ、 教会は妥協するものでいっぱいになり。
A bunch of bunk. Right? We're gonna pay attention to that. That's private revelation. We don't need to accept that, right? Maybe. But then again, maybe not. I personally went to Akita, and because I'm a bit German, I'm a bit skeptical of things. I want to make sure I'm not getting, you know, bamboozled, right? So I went to Akita. Walter and I went, did a little some research in there. I knelt in front of the same miraculous statue, by the way, that the bishop of the diocese at the time verified was actually weeping. I understand. A lot of people are weeping statues. Oh my gosh, what? What is wrong with you, man? Right? But this is a bishop of the Catholic Church, again, an academic, extremely intelligent man, Japanese man, an academic, right? A priest, a bishop. And here's what he had to say about that silly, goofy, weeping statue at the time. So again, I don't know what to make of all this. I'm just sharing it with you today. But I do know this. I do know that the same clowns, the same people that are driving the clown car and who tell us that Akita is a hoax, also told us to trust the science a couple of years ago. They also insisted that we get vaccinated and that we vaccinate our children, right? Trust the science. And before they were telling us to go get the kiddies vaccinated, they were also out there insisting that NATO was absolutely right to provoke Vladimir Putin into war in Ukraine, remember? Now that's the very thing that today has led to fire coming from this from the heavens over Ukraine. Anybody want to retract your little stand with Ukraine bit? Because it turned out that was a lot more complicated than you thought. And the good guys weren't necessarily the good guys, and the bad weren't necessarily all that bad when you look into it. So never mind that the good guys in that case had actually declared war. We were told that Putin was the one who declared war on Anna Tevka and Tavia Golda and the girls, right? Well, it turns out, if you do a little research, the good guys were actually the ones who had declared war on Vladimir Putin back in 2017, and we showed you so often a few years ago when this all started.
All of us will go back to Washington, and we will push the case against Russia.
We will do everything we can to provide you with what you need to win.
And these guys, these same actors, are still at it today.
So we need to do two things quickly. Make Russia a state sponsor of terrorism under U.S. law, which would make it harder for China to give weapons to Russia. And we need to start training Ukrainian pilots on the F-16 now.
I know one of the things the Allies have worried about is that it could provoke Russia.
I'm not worried about provoking Putin. I want to beat him.
Says the guy who declared war on Vladimir Putin in the first place.
No.
Our fight is not with the Russian people, but with Putin. Our promise to you is to take your cause to Washington and make the case against Putin to the world.
And once again, they needed the moral authority of the Catholic Church to get this this fake news to fly. That Metropolitan from Philadelphia, I mean, shouldn't he be calling for peace by now? The man of the cloth, shouldn't he be saying, let's get these guys together and stop this war? He actually took part in the World Economic Forum's Ukraine is You project. That's what it's called, Ukraine is You.
President Zelensky has been a student in this school. Unbeknownst to him, he's been a student in the School of Catholic Social Doctrine. And he's become a great symbol. He's become a great communicator of these truths. Let us make the right decisions right now to end this war, to give the weapons, to give the help, and make sure that this opportunity isn't wasted.
So here we are. Now we're on the brink of World War III, exactly as we predicted we would be by now, a couple of years ago, by the way. What a shock, right? I wonder where the good bishop is. I wonder if he's still out there telling everybody we need to go to war against Russia still, now that the truth has kind of come out. And what happens now if Russia finally, just at the end, being pushed to the nth degree, to the limit, finally decides to simply annihilate the entire Ukrainian nation, you know, like as in Annihilation of Nations? What happens then? Well, I'm very concerned that what happens then is that we're going to have to change those Ukrainian flag avatars, and that we're going to have to replace them with the Star of David flag. Because that's where it looks like it's heading right now. In fact, this whole Ukrainian thing in Eastern Europe with Russia and all that almost begins to seem like a distraction for the next big wag the dog scenario.
The president's going to go to war with Albania in about 30 minutes.
Albania's hard to run.
These are chips.
We need it for the armed position on the screen. It'll be a kit, and we'll punch it in later, right?
And all the effects of real war.
Okay, put the village behind her.
Give me some sound of screaming.
Without the casualties.
America has seldom witnessed a more poignant picture.
It's the same process with the last Schwarzenegger movie.
You're the man.
Now, when this next wag the dog scenario plays out in real time on CNN and Fox and everything, well, it's going to include, I'm going to warn you right now, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Read my lips, right? This is going to include plenty of video clips of dead babies, screaming women, horrific depictions of bloody and annihilated city streets. It's going to be all very, very black and white, good versus evil. And guess who the good guys are, okay? And anyone and everyone who dares to disagree with the folks on TV, who refuses to or questions the support of the noble war effort, right? Anyone who does that will be denounced as an un-American hater, a moron, and no doubt a rank anti-Semite. So even in a few months, some of you in this audience, most not, because this audience is so fantastic, and this audience goes through lives with your eyes open and your brains ready, you know, to be put to use. You see it, you get it. But there will be some people, even in this audience, a few months from now, will be shouting at yours truly that you are a moron, you're un-American, and you're anti-Semitic. I guarantee it. Now, the TV show hasn't happened yet. The Wag the Dog hasn't happened quite yet. It's kind of unfolding gradually. But it's going to happen, and it's going to happen on steroids, because this one is going to be the big one. You know, and all of a sudden you're gonna find yourself saying things like, carpet bomb all Muslims, because that's what Jesus would do, man. And that's going to seem perfectly in line with Catholic teaching to you for some reason. It seems like the Christian thing to do, man, is a crusade. You got to just carpet bomb all the Muslims in the world. Maybe. As I say, most of us, I don't think so. Please, God, not this time, not again. Every time you're tempted to believe what you see on the TV, I want you to remember the empty New York City, the empty Rome, the empty London, streets vacated, people locked in their houses, masked up for no reason, and then finally taking shots all over the world, billions of them. Remember what they can do. Remember the power that they have, okay? It's always going to be the same people doing this. It's just a different wag the dog scenario, okay? Because you know what? Now that we're in this little calm before the storm, it just seems to me pretty easy for us to see that the remnant of Christian believers, that's what remnant means. It doesn't mean that we are the elitist remnant. It means we aspire to be among the remnant, the biblical remnant that will exist at the end. Those who held on, those who kept the faith, no matter what they saw. It's like the old 3 days of darkness. Board up the windows, get the blessed candles, say your rosary, let the demons go by. Don't even look at them, right? Okay? So this remnant is, biblically speaking, is the little remnant of Christian believers who will survive, who will be set aside, who will somehow make it through, right? We are called, that remnant is called to a higher standard. On every single level, we're called to a higher and different standard. Many ways we live in occupied territory behind enemy lines now, right? The Christendom has collapsed. And most importantly, friends, we're called to stop being stupid. We are called to stop being gullible. Stop falling, I'm sorry, stop falling for the BS on steroids. That's so important for everything they're doing with the launching of this new world order of theirs, right? St. Paul put it quite simply. He said, come out from among them. I say, never, ever, ever, ever become them. He said, come out from among them. St. Paul, this is 2 Corinthians. He said, be ye separate, saith the Lord, right? And the Lord will be your father, and you will be his children, and he will protect you. This is exactly what the original pioneer traditional Catholics, the Vandeans in Western France. I've told that story so many times. Sometimes I wonder, did anybody actually know why I'm telling a story? You think I'm just a history buff? I'm telling a story because the Vendée is us.
Because these are the sons and daughters of the Vendée, the royal and Catholic army of peasants, who during the French Revolution gave their lives for altar and throne. Outlaw priests offered outlawed masses in the woods of the Vendée under the cover of night. They gave their lives rather than betray the church during a reign of terror which saw Catholic kings, queens, priests, and nuns slaughtered in the streets of Paris. The Vendeans were the original guardians of tradition.
But the thing to remember is that revolution continues. The revolution always continues. There really is no victory in sight. The victory for us is when we die and we've kept the faith, right? And God says, you know, that it calls us the good and faithful servant, right? This war between God and Satan goes back to the garden. We all know that. Culminates at the crucifixion. And ever since, there's just been this back and forth war between good and evil. And this is the thing that we must understand. Because that same mobocracy that was stringing up, you know, Catholic priests and nuns and kings and queens back in the French Revolution, the same thing is going on today. They're trying to finish the job, only now they have diversity, equity, and inclusion, sort of a progressive thing, right? Standing in the way of liberty, equality, and fraternity. But it's the same exact group. It's the same Christophobic revolution, just a modern manifestation, the modern entity or iteration of it. And now, God help us all, now they're actually using the papacy of Francis to put a papal imprimatur on everything they're doing, right? It's the new world religion. The new world order has a religion. It's the new world order's religion, as George Farmer recently pointed out at the Catholic Identity Conference.
And if you look at what we have now, we have a liturgical calendar. You have Juneteenth. You have Pride Month. You have International Women's Day. You have all these nonsense celebrations of days and months, which is exactly the same as what the church used to give us. Every time you walk into a building which has a pride flag on it, you are walking into a temple of the new religion. This is what they want. And if you do not profess unbridled doctrinal allegiance to the new religion, you will be excommunicated.
Now, the only way to fight that new religion is with true religion. And here's where it gets tough. And here's where we really got to understand this is the bill of goods that we've been sold as Catholics, as patriots, as Americans, especially. Because the trouble is the true religion has been under attack for so many centuries now that even most Catholics don't even understand what it means. The attack was universal, friends, and the attack was absolutely Freemasonic in nature. If you don't know anything about Freemasonry, then you don't know what's going on today. Okay? I'm not talking about Richie Cunningham's dad with a little fez cap and shrines. That's part of it. But there's so much more. It's fundamentally Christophobic, anti-Catholic. How do we know this? Because Freemasonry was condemned. Secret societies were condemned by more successive popes than any other ill, any other error in the history of the world, history of the church. And the fundamental principle, heresy, if you will, of the modern state is that the state must reject the very notion that any religion is superior to the others, including and especially, of course, the only one that ever claimed to be superior to the others, and that's the old religion, that's the Christian religion, that's the Catholic faith, which has a defined dogma called extra ecclesia nulla salus, which means no salvation outside the Catholic Church. This is a defined dogma. If you don't like it, take it up with the church. If you're a Catholic and you don't like it, it simply is a matter for you to take up with your priest and try to figure out what you're going to do with that. But the point is, it was defined infallibly by the church. You must believe that. But how many people do you know believe it anymore? You get my point? So since 1717, when Freemasonry really got busy, right, The Catholic Church has been allowed her freedoms, right? So long as time goes on, so long as she increasingly abandons that dogma, that claim that she is the true church established by Jesus Christ, outside of which there is no salvation. So long as the Catholic Church agrees to be just another nice little religion among the other nice little religions in the New World Order's pantheon of nice little harmless religions. You see? So you defeat religion, not in a frontal assault, but you defeat the Christian religion by saying it's just basically the same as the Muslim religion, the Jewish religion, heck, the satanic temple of Set, any religion. It's all the same. They're all the same. You see? And in doing so, you uncrown Christ the King. And in doing so, you dethrone Christ the King. And conversely, if you keep that belief in the true teachings of the church regarding the church established by Jesus Christ, true and only church, true church, well, then you're proclaiming the kingship of Jesus Christ, and you're living the kingship of Jesus Christ out in the modern world, and then you're part of the real war. And then you know what's going on. Because what does all this mean? We're asked and must withhold assent from some of the foundational principles of modern democracy, and this is where I say it gets kind of tricky. And so people don't really want to hear this. But the reality is modern democracy, self-rule, is based on Freemasonry's main heresy, which is naturalism, that nature and reason, that's what matters, not God. Nature and reason establishes how we act, how we live, how we organize ourselves, our politics, not God. Oh, we give him credit for you. The grand architect is fantastic. But we're down here with a natural religion, creating the brotherhood of man on earth, you see? This is why we talk about the rights of God, because naturalism, Freemasonry, democracy tells us the whole point and purpose of what we're doing is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? The whole point of Christianity was what? To know, love, and serve God in this world so that you can be happy with him forever in the next. You see, diametrically opposed. And most Catholics today don't know any of this. And when they're confronted with the teaching about their own church, the superiority of their own church as a church established by Jesus Christ, you know what? They reject it. A good Americanist patriot, well, he believes that all religions are equal, right? I don't think my religion is better than yours, man. I'm a patriot. So faithful Catholics, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, we're set apart, friends. They went to war against our church. These sons of the Enlightenment, and for the most part, they were victorious. So we've been set apart, which means that at least to a degree, we need to understand we're part of this long revolution, and we are part of the long Catholic counter-revolution. It's not going to end anytime soon. This is life in the modern post-Christian confessional state. That's why I always go back to Francis, because there is no separation of church and state. A lot of people think that's such a cool thing to say. Hey, man, keep your church and your state separate. That's the way it is. But there's no such thing. The Pope's called that an abomination. And you know who else thinks there's no such thing as a separation of church and state? The enemy, the globalists. They're trying to make their politics into a religion, a state religion, a confessional state of secularism, aren't they? Globalism. And so Pope Francis, he's a globalist, right? And globalism's ultimate political objective is what? It's the exact same objective as Freemasonry's objective. The establishment of a global new world order. This is a spiritual war, friends, against the old order, the holy order of Christendom, the social kingship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, you can't separate this. Because they're fighting a war against him. Whether we like it or not, or whether we're too dumbed down to realize it or not as Catholics, that's what the enemy is doing. And we stand in the way if we understand who and what we are as Catholics. And it's not them. Which is why they're targeting us, which is why they're taking our masks down, which is why they're trying to turn us into hate criminals in this country. Because we're not them. And that's exactly what they did with the Vandeans before us. So this is why Francis then is canceling. We talk about this, you know, I always feel kind of, those of you who are not quote-unquote traditional Latin Mass Catholic, you might wonder, well, you know, they don't care about your Latin Mass, man. Why are you always bringing the Latin Mass up? Because that canceling of the Latin Mass, canceling of the touchstone of Christendom, the liturgy of Christendom, which united millions and millions and millions of Catholics for 2,000 years, right? Canceling that, that's at the very heart of this entire new globalist New World Order. It has to go away because it represents the old faith. It represents the kingship of Christ, right? Francis, in condemning or in canceling, I should say, the Latin Mass, is merely being compliant with the terms of Catholic surrender, which took place first, in fairness, not with Francis, but at Vatican II. If you don't understand that, Google it, or we'll do a show on it. But that surrender included the establishment of a new order, literally a new world order. Does it sound familiar? Do you know what they called the new Mass when it came out? The Novus Ordo Missae, the new order of Mass. It's all a new order. And part of the terms, again, the Catholic Church agreed to when she surrendered, not just at the time of the Second Vatican Council, it was coming a long time before that, but the terms were in effect that the Church would abandon this claim, this nasty, pesty little... this little claim to be the church established by Jesus Christ, outside of which there is no salvation. That's what had to go first. That's what the entire ecumenical movement is all about. So dialogue is all about. There's not going to be no solution, no end game for dialogue. The whole point is to put everything on the table like they're doing at the Synod on Synodality right now. But what's a given is that the Catholic Church is not the only true church in the world. Francis has come right out and said that many, many times. Well, he said many paths to God. Don't worry about it. This is fundamentally Freemasonic, and it's fundamentally evil, demonic, Christophobic. You see what's going on here? I know we're just scratching the surface. We're going over a lot of ground. But you begin to see what's going on here. Can you see or can you understand how important it is for the remnant of Christian believers, so-called traditional Catholics, to comprehend and to understand and to study fully what's happening here? Because most of us haven't a clue. What they're doing, friends, is they're systematically executing the mystical body of Christ in the modern world. That's what they're doing. And they will not be happy until every one of us becomes an apostate. Did you know that? This is the work of the devil. And the devil's greatest coup, his coup d'etat, if you will, was always and has always been to convince man that he doesn't even exist. But he does exist. You know he exists. Look what they're doing to babies in the womb. Look what they're doing to children. Look what they're doing in education. Look what they're doing to society. Look at the evil and the perversion. Of course he exists. In fact, he just locked down the whole world in a web of lies, didn't he? The father of lies. He closed nearly every church in Christendom like that, didn't he? Man, that was something. That's what he did, though. And now this father of lies has been deceiving everybody. You know what? He's deceiving all of us. Good people, to varying degrees, are subject to this diabolical disorientation.
What this organization represents, what Western civilization represents today, is an understanding that Zionism and Americanism are the front lines of Western civilization and freedom in our world today.
Zionism and Americanism, the front line of our civilization. What happened to Christianity, Pete? Now, I'm not being critical of this guy. In fact, I'm using him as an example of really one of the better ones. He's got a lot of good things to say, this guy. I agree with a lot of what he has to say, which is why I'm picking him, why I selected him as an example. Not because of how bad he is, but because of how good he is. Good guy, right? But the diabolical disorientation is affecting all of us, friends. This is a Novus Ordo Catholic who doesn't know. He just doesn't know. He's a patriot. He's a good man. He just doesn't even recognize this thing that's going on as the satanic assault on Christian civilization that it's always been. That's what wokeism is. It's not some development of liberalism. It's part of the satanic attack on Christ. That's what it's always been. So he doesn't realize, for example, because of the dumbing down that's gone on in the church, He doesn't realize that Americanism, again, as I just said, is a heresy condemned by Leo XIII and Testem Benevolentiae. If you don't understand that, Google it. If it's news to you, Google it. Americanism is a heresy condemned by the church. He says it's the front line of civilization moving forward. You see? That's how diabolically disoriented even the good guys are. Poor Pete, he doesn't know, also, in addition, that Zionism is a Jewish heresy. A Jewish heresy, which holds that the Messiah is not a person, but rather it's the Jewish race itself. And this, according to Jewish theology, is heresy. And this is why Zionism, by the way, is rejected by so many Orthodox Jews. That's why so many Orthodox Jews are critical of what Israel's doing right now, because they see that as like a human solution to a man, to a divine problem. It's going to have to involve God, not just guns and missiles and border walls, you see? So much more is going on here. If you didn't know about that, what Zionism is, please remember that. Remember what you didn't know. Before you change your, remember what you don't know. Before you change your avatar to a Star of David next month. Let's just make the avatar a cross, shall we? And leave it there for the rest of our lives. That's the safest thing to do if you're into avatars. And in the moral order now, after all this revolution in the church and in the state, in the moral order, oh, God help us, it's so much worse.
And Trump looks up and he's like, you, I kind of recognize you. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I go on Fox, I'm on Tucker. He says, oh, Tucker, that must be. Yeah. And then he turns to you and he goes, and who are you?
He goes, who are you? And I'm just standing there. Yeah. Like, I don't know. You know.
Who are you? And you go, well, I'm his husband. And he goes, husband? Husband?
Like, you two are married?
You two are married? And then he slaps his hands on the table.
Yeah.
And he goes, I want to stand up. I want to stand up and shake your hands. I think that's great. He turns to Melania,
he's like, honey, these two guys are married. And he turns to me, he's like, you guys are too good looking. That's your problem. You're too good looking.
I know what you're going to say. I'm a homophobe, right? But this, friends, is our horrific post-Christian reality, whether we like it or not, after three centuries of Freemasonic attack on the Christian confessional state. That's where we live. A geopolitical nightmare that has made Christians political orphans, true Christians, political orphans, picking their way through the ruins of Christendom, pathetically abandoned by the Church of Vatican II, reduced to voting for people now who are pro-abortion because, gosh, I don't know, man. They're going to eat my kids if I don't. That's the new beautiful world order in which we live, where we have to put our trust in non-Catholic princes who are indifferent, utterly indifferent. I'm not even being critical. It's just the reality. They are utterly indifferent to the fundamental dogmas of our faith for which we Catholics are supposed to be willing to lay down our lives for, right? And die rather than deny. Our leaders don't even care at all. They're not even thinking about that. Yeah, we like the Catholics. Great. They like Catholics, but they reject everything that we believe in. And why wouldn't they? They're not Catholic. I get it. And so now we're reduced to voting for lesser of two evils if we want to safeguard, get this, I mean, this is the thing. If we want to safeguard even just the physical well-being of our little kids. You see what I mean? So I'm not blaming anybody, pointing any fingers. I totally get it. This is where it's come now, where they might kill our children, certainly rape them, probably hack them up, and certainly destroy their souls. So I think bad things are. So vote for somebody who might not do that to the kids. This has got to be the most pathetic state of affairs in the history of the human race, where little children are targets and little babies are slaughtered by the millions. That's where this has all led, friends. Which is why I say again and again and again, the only way out is the cross. The only way out is the social kingship of Jesus Christ. And a lot's going to have to burn down, I suppose, and blow up, and fire coming from the heavens before people realize it's time to get down on your knees and begin the true restoration, to begin the true process of making our world great again. You see? Because where the mighty Catholic Church once stood, now, oh my word, there is this bizarre, mutant, hybrid Christianity that's rising up out of the ashes of Christendom like some well-meaning antichrist.
Many evangelicals believe that once Jews fully control the land, Jesus will return to earth and rapture Christians up to heaven.
The title deed to the land of Israel is recorded in the Bible, which gives the Jewish people a clear and unclouded title to that land forever. It belongs to them, and it belongs to them only.
People that share this view are called Christian Zionists. They believe the Bible commands them to support and defend the modern-day state of Israel, regardless of what this means for the Palestinians who live under its occupation.
Now there are millions and millions of devout Christians who stand with Israel. So I want to thank you on behalf of all the people of Israel.
I'm a Christian, but I'm a Zionist. I'm an unapologetic, unreformed Zionist.
I repeat, those are the good guys. And I'm not tearing them down. I'm just saying, you know what? In the absence of a strong Catholic Church, just about anything goes, right? If you believe in the God of surprises, you will believe in anything. And that's what's happening. So how's all this going to play out? You know, well, that's what we're waiting to see. But while we wait, we also have to take a few steps, make a few plans, have a few conversations on how we're going to keep it together, right? How we're going to survive this. How we're not going to be deceived. How we're going to continue to believe as our fathers believed, right up to the moments of their deaths, of their last breath, that our hope, our only hope, is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth and all things. That's truly, truly the case. And so all these prophecies that we've spoken about tonight, they all have one thing in common, don't they? They all speak of the alternative. They all speak of the supernatural virtue of hope that comes with the alternative. What is the alternative? The alternative is to do what we were put on this earth to do in the first place, and that's to hold the Catholic ground no matter what, even during chastisement like this one obviously is. So yeah, we remain active in politics wherever and whenever possible. I'm not suggesting we should absent ourselves completely. We have to make the best of the situation in which we find ourselves, but always remembering that we're different because our war is not just in the end a spiritual war, but what motivates us, what we're fighting for as soldiers of Jesus Christ, our war is a holy war. It's a spiritual war. And it's a war that God wins in the end. And all we gotta do is hang on and wait for his victory. Just never move away from him, and we will see the victory. But yes, things are bad. Our Lady of La Salette warning, as I talked about at the top of the show, that Rome will lose the faith and become the seat of the Antichrist. It's pretty scary, right? It seems to be happening right before our eyes. But don't forget what she goes on to say, what Our Lady goes on to say. She says that that beast will ultimately be strangled by the angel Michael and cast down. This is what Our Lady of La Salette said. And then, friends, I'm going to close on this. And then she makes us this incredibly hopeful and wonderful promise. Mother of God, our advocate in heaven, who's been holding back the arm of her son, the vengeful arm of her son, according to Our Lady of Akita, for a long, long time. But at La Salette, she promises what? She promises that she's going to fight for us. And I'm going to leave you with that.
She said, I call upon my children, my true devotees, those who have given themselves to me, so that I may guide them to my divine son. Go and show yourselves as my dear children. I am with you and in you, provided that your faith be the light which enlightens you in these dark days of woe. May your zeal render you like the starving for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. Fight, children of light, you the small number who can see. For behold, the time of times, the end of ends, but I will fight with you. I will fight for you.